We're in the middle of Perek Beis and Daniel. We've had the names. We went through all the different names, and it's been quite a bit of all the people who came
Ezra.
Up. We went through, I'm sorry, Ezra. Yeah, I said Daniel, didn't I? Right, going through all the names of the people that came up. Now, again, remember, these are the people that came up in the years of Koresh the first, right? The very first Koresh, which was the first, I could say, the first Persian king, although Persian Mede, the people that came together. Led by Zerubbabel. So now here we're getting up to Vayomer HaTirshasa. We're on Perek Beis, Pasuk Samach Gimel. It says, Vayomer HaTirshasa Lahem, Asher Lo Yochlu Mikodesh HaKadosh Amad Amod Kohen Urim Ulesumim. This is an interesting line over here. The word Tirshasa is a Persian word that is used referring to a government official. Obviously, if you look at the name, it looks similar to the word Pasha. You know, something like that. This is a guy who was there. Now, who is this exactly is a little bit of a kasha. It could be that it's Nehemiah. It could be that it's Zerubbabel. It could be that Zerubbabel and Nehemiah are the exact same person. Zerubbabel and Nehemiah would both have been children of Yechoniah, the king of Eretz Yisrael at one point, who was exiled a little bit earlier than Sidkiah.
Wouldn't they be really old?
Not at this time, would have been 50, 60, which would make sense for a leader at the time, right, around that time if they were there. But he had these kids when he was already in jail in Babel, not when they never saw Eretz Yisrael until he came back. So over there, this is over here. Now, others say that Tirshasa is just simply put the Saramashkim, the officer of the drinks, as we'll see that definitely Nehemiah was later on in his life. Tirshasa is Heter Shasa. The ability to drink. He was permitted to be able to drink. He was sort of like the butler who was in charge at the time, who was going to be in charge over there. Anyway, regardless, this entire thing, it's possible that drinking non-Jewish wine wasn't usher yet. I don't know exactly when they ushered drinking non-Jewish wine.
So meaning it was usher if they gave him a dispensation.
Right, but I don't know if the actual usher was made.
I want to go to the rabbi and get dispensation to do so.
No, but Heter Shasa could be what's it? Heter Shasa might not be a heter. In other words, it might have been like he was one who allowed people to drink. You know what I'm saying? Like that might have been what it refers to, if that's the idea over here. Yeah, but either way, maybe it was matred for him. Maybe that's the idea behind it. Regardless, obviously, if he was made as the butler for the king, he had to get something over here. But he said the following, that they couldn't eat this holy food, in other words, all the kudshim and the meat and everything like that, as the quantum themselves. And the reason why is because they had major issues who were actual quantum and who were not. They were dealing with chazakos over here, with chazakos, in other words, presumption to be able to go through. Today, obviously, we only deal with chazaka. Nobody can be miyachas themselves all the way back. I shouldn't say nobody. There are certain quantum, the Rappaport family, that supposedly can bring themselves all the way back to Aaron HaKohen. But most quantum are only quantum outside.
Bring it to somebody who brought it to somebody who brought
well,
it to
Well, if you did it, then I guess somebody who brought it to Aaron. I think anybody nowadays that can bring it to the Rappaport family, that's what they say. Then you have what to go on. But either way, but we don't even hold that. We hold that you go with chazakas and that's that. But he said these Kohanim were not allowed to eat from the Kodesh Kodesh and I'd amod Kohen l'urim v'tumim. And so a Kohen gets up with the Urim v'tumim, right? Once we go through and we understand how, you know, who's a Kohen and who's not. Now here's the issue. The Urim v'tumim did not work in the times of the second base of Mikdash. It never actually happened. So that's a little bit of a problem. You're saying,
but maybe it just means the Kohen Gadol will wear the blood breastplate.
Yes. So it's a little bit of a problem to say that they were going to ask the Urim v'tumim. There were Nevi'im around, but the Urim v'tumim apparently stopped working. According to the Rush, it stopped working by the times of Shlomo HaMelech, right? It could be that there was something also over here. They definitely had a Choshen, but the Urim v'tumim, those Shemos, according to the Gemara and Yuma, never even appeared during the times of the second base of Mikdash. So it could be that he's saying that nobody is going to be able to fully eat this stuff until the times of the third base of Mikdash when we have the Urim v'tumim, etc. But that's not what we hold, and that's not what ended up happening. Could be that he made this decision right then because of all the other issues over there.
Between,
how did they not have
what? Like, how could they not follow the lineage of the Kohanim from between the first and
I'm sure there were some. I'm sure there were some that were able to do
so. I mean, it
so.
Was a decent amount of time, but it wasn't really that
long.
Yeah,
it was only 50 years. At this point, it was only 50 years since Sidkiah, right, since Sidkiah had been up. Right, it shouldn't have been that long so much. But I guess he was basically saying, let's wait until the times, whatever it is. But clearly the idea behind it is until the Kohen of the Urim v'Tumim, who would wear the Urim v'Tumim, the Kohen Gadol stands up. They were waiting for somebody like Ezra. Kol kal ke'echad arba riba alpayim v'shalosh me'el seshishin. Now right here, the kal altogether was 342,360. That's how many people were there. And that's it. Now remember, this is before Achashverosh, right? This is in the middle of Gullus Babel still. But still it was a very small number of the people that ended up going up. Now, if you count all the numbers that we mentioned up above, there's only about 30,000. Where do they get this number 42,360? So the discrepancy is explained in a couple ways. Rav Schwab says, number one, we're only talking about the returnees from Binyamin and Yehuda. There were additional 12,000 people that were made up of the 10 other tribes that were exiled to places that were closer to Eretz Yisrael. Maybe they went to Assyria or something like that. Maybe those people came in, but these were only the Yehuda, Binyamin, and Shevet Levi type returnees that came through over here. Or there were 30,000 that came immediately. 42,360 were the amount that came eventually within the next couple years. Again, we are not talking about by the times of Ezra. That would have been a different number. But this is the amount of people that came right now. Milvad Avdeim Amosim, aside from their servants and their maidservants, Elishivas Alafim Shlosh Mil Shlosh Meshiva, which were altogether 7,337. V'lahem Meshorim Meshoros Masayim. There were 200 singers, both for men and women, right? Which is interesting altogether, but there were women and men singers that came in.
Why did they have?
Doesn't mention over here, and I don't have anything that was mentioned, but regardless, it seems that there were people that were songs and praises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I guess getting their hopes up and spirits, and they were slaves that they might have taken from Bethel.
The 200 is separate from the,
meaning, yeah.
So they're not Jewish.
So they would have been slaves, right. Or they would have been like what the Givonim were back in the day, like somebody was like squazzy. Many of these people, as we mentioned before, were very wealthy. They left their wealth and everything left that in Bavel. It was a very big trip for them to go through.
The poor people, because the wealthy people don't want to leave.
Not this time. Not with when Koresh allowed them to leave. Koresh told all the people, give them money. That's what we said in the first parak. That Koresh's original proclamation was, give them money, let them go through, you know, and really like give them everything they need. These
you
people,
can see Cyrus
these people had it.
In the museum, though.
That was pretty cool. Really,
it's where the order of this.
They had this. But this is really. But yeah, they could have hired them. Susam Shvamios Shloshim. There were 730 horses. Vishisham 736. Pirdeim, their mules, Masayim Arbaim V'chamisha, 245. Gamaleim Arbamil Shloshim V'chamisha, 435 camels. Chamorim Sheshes Alofim, Shvamil Shvasrim, 6,720. Obviously, you need a lot of donkeys because they're the one carrying the load. Omei Rashiya Avos Bavon Leves Hashem. So from the heads of the fathers' houses when they came into the house of Hashem Hashem Yerushalayim. Now, again, there was no Beis HaMikdash yet, obviously. What they're talking about when we say the Beis Hashem means the area that everybody knew was the place where the Beis HaMikdash is going to be built. He's not a Leves Elohim La'amidu Al-Machono. They donated all these types of things to establish it on its foundation. Kechocham, Nasal Osar Amalacha, Zav Dar Kamonim Sheish Rivos Ve'Elef, right, they all together, when they gave over, according to their means, they gave gold. So whatever this is gold darkamones. It must have been a certain type of coin. I don't know what type of coin
like
this is. It does. Do you know what that is?
It's
what is that?
Currency.
It is a type of currency even today?
Yeah,
what, is it a weight?
Which country?
A weight?
Greece countries is the drachma.
Greece is
the
drachma?
I think it was.
It used to be Greece, right.
That's interesting. But he says 61,000 altogether. That's a large amount of gold. If it's a weight, I'd love to know how much that actually was. Kesef manim chamesh shalafim. There were 5,000 silver manas. You know, mana was 100 each, 100 coins each. The kosnos kohanim mea, and 100 kohanim's sunos. So in other words, the tunics themselves. You assume that this was very, very expensive. The reason why they did this over here, it was expensive to make. This was linen clothing. I don't know what linen was like, if they had linen. Linen we know was in Mitzrayim. Did they have linen in Bavel? This might have been a little bit more expensive because they might not have grown flax in Bavel. I have absolutely no idea. But clearly it was something very, very special if they're mentioning it, you know, specifically over here of how much they had to have, along with the gold and the silver. For sure they had trade, but meaning what I'm saying is that that must have been really expensive if we're saying over here that it was just so hard to make. And we think of the linen tunics as being, you know, the ksonis that the Kohanim wore. It's being something simple, you know, like a long robe or something like that. But it was made interwoven with these little boxes. Ksonis tashbeitz is what we call it, right? And tashbeitz means these interwoven boxes, which may have been a little bit harder to be able to make. Anyway, Vayeshua Kohanim V'Levim Mina Om V'Meshorim V'Shoarim. These are the Meshorim are the singers of the Levim, Shoarim are the gatekeepers, and Esinim, as well as his Givonim that we were talking about before. But Oreim, they live in their cities, Chol Yisrael and Bnei Yisrael in their cities themselves. It seems like everybody had their own cities, right? And the Esinim, unfortunately, had their own cities. They were second-class citizens at the time because they were still Givonim. They were still told over. They were not full citizens, but they were there to build the Beis HaMikdash. But they all had their own little cities.
They didn't get lost over the years.
Crazy, right? No, the Nesinim were right there. We even mentioned their names and their families up above. Yeah, it is crazy. But they were there. Now, in Pasuk Aleph, Perek Gimel, Pasuk Aleph, Vayigah HaChodesh HaShvi'i, seventh month approach. This is referring to, obviously, the seventh month of Tishrei, right? He did not want to call it, although at the time, and obviously, Megillas Esther, right, does include the names of the months, right? It does say Chodesh Arishon, Chodesh Nisan, right? It does mention that. Ezra did not want to mention the name of the month that they took from Persia. Perhaps at the time they hadn't gotten it, they hadn't done such a thing. Again, this is in times of Koresh, before the story of Purim. But I don't know. But it says, B'Koresh HaShviyu, B'nei Yisrael Ba'arim, B'nei Yisrael was in their cities, B'Yisrael Amki Shachar Yerushalayim. Everybody gathered together as one. There was nobody ordering them to do this. It's decided it's time to go to Yerushalayim and build it up. B'Yakim Yeshua Ben Yotzadok, this was his Persian name, but his real name was Yehoshua Ben Yehotzadok, the very first Kohen Gadol before, really, Ezra came. Yehoshua Ben Yotzadok came, the Echav HaKohanim, and his brother's HaKohanim was Rubavel Ben Shealtiel. This is Rubavel, the son of Shealtiel, as we said before. Shealtiel was one of the names that is given to Yechonia, right? The name of the king of Yerushalayim itself, Yehoyachin, is what he's called, right? He was the one, this Zerubbabel was conceived in Babel. It's possible that Zerubbabel is the same person as Nehemiah itself. The Gemara does darshan, the different names in Sanhedrin, around Mem Aleph, somewhere around there. It goes through the different names of why he's named that way. You can probably find it in Toldos Aharon over there. But the Echav, as well as his brothers, all they did is they built a Mizbeach to a Kaddish Baruch Hu, to bring up Olos on it. Now, the halacha by this time was like this. You cannot, we have Kiddush Rishon and Kiddush Lashad to Kiddush Lashad level by the second Beis Hamikdash. At the time, by the first Beis Hamikdash, it was not Kiddush, well, it was a machlokas. If Kiddush Rishon and Kiddush Lashad to Kiddush Lashad level by the times of the first Beis Hamikdash. The question was, where should they build the Mizbeach? Before they built the actual Beis Hamikdash, before they built the walls of the Beis Hamikdash, which they thought might be a little bit of a problem. There might be people thinking, oh, they're building a fortress. They might be building something like that. The first thing they built was the Mizbeach itself. It is permitted to build a Mizbeach if there is no house. That would be like a Bama Gedola, and this would be the idea of the Bama Gedola. It could be that this is through Chagai Zechariah Malachi. It's the idea that they would have been able to say it. Mistama, they were involved in the halachic process. Remember, Mordechai was here at the time as well, before he went back for the Purim story, but he was there as well. Only Olos. Olos can be brought on Bamos. You cannot bring, Olos can be both individual offerings, Nedavos, as well as public offerings, but it could not be a Shlomim, Narachatas, Nashim, Kakas, Besoros, Moshe, Shalim, as it says by Moshe Rabbeinu, that's what they could do. Yeah.
This is not a Bama. They're built the Mizbeach on the Temple Mount.
But as long as there's no Beis HaMikdash, then it has the status of a Bama Gidola.
But it's mutter to use.
But it is mutter to use, for sure. Yeah. Nowadays, it's different, because Kiddush Rishon, Kiddush Lashayta, Kiddush Lashad Lavo. So nowadays, it would have the status of regular Mizbeach, because the Kiddush is there. But back then, where there was a Shaila, if there's Kiddush Rishon, Kiddush Lashayta, what would be with that area? Technically, a Bama would be mutter anywhere. You could build a Bama anywhere. We can't do that nowadays. But back then, so this would be the status of a Bama Gidola, a set Bama that would be there forever. You could bring Olos on it, but that was it when it came to such a thing. That was it, yeah.
Zerubbabel was grandson of Yehoyachin. Rabban Ezra posted the pasuk in Divrei Yamim, and Shealtiel was actually his uncle.
You know, it's interesting. I do have that written down somewhere. It's not over here, right?
Yehonia Asir Shealtiel Beno Umal Kiram Uvdaya Uvnei Fidaya Zerubbabel Vetimhi.
I'd have to look it up. In the Gemara itself in Sanhedrin, do you have a Gemara Sanhedrin right there? Does it quote a Da?
No,
by Zerubbabel? Then it probably did the first time we saw the name. But there is a Gemara in Sanhedrin that says, why is Zerubbabel ben Shealtiel? Shealtiel is definitely referring to Yechonia or Yehoyachin. That was supposed to be his other name. And it goes through the Gemara and says why he was called Shealtiel, right? That Shaul, Mi'el, and whatever, and how he gave birth to him is actually a big whatever. He gave birth to him. He was in a jail that was standing up only. He could not lie down. And he impregnated his wife while standing up. And the Gemara says it was a nace that it was collate, that she was able to become pregnant that way. But it's an interesting little thing, but it was supposed to be Yehoyachin. Now, it could be, because again, if Zerubbabel and Nechemiah are the same person, and it's like he was a son. If it's not the same person, it very well could be a grandson. Very well could be a grandfather. I just saw that someone. I don't remember where it said that he was a grandson and not a son also. All right, Benunu. That's Avayachinu HaMizbeach HaMachono. So they set up the Mizbeach in its proper place. Kiba Emaleim. They had a little bit of a fear upon them. Me'amei Aratzos. From the people around there. There were still many people that were around there. The Ammonim, the Moavim, Edom, the Shomronim, and the Kusim were right there in the land themselves. And they were afraid, right? If people thought that this was about a rebellion against Koresh and the Persian kingdom, then things could be taken down really quickly. They wanted to show that this was a religious thing, not a defense thing. So build the Mizbeach first for a religious purpose, and it wasn't political. That wasn't anything else. It says, Vayalu alav olos Hashem, olos aborgal erev. They brought up olos for the morning and for the evening. It does not seem that they brought the regular korban toda, right, that over there. I would assume they brought So the Rosh Hashanah, from Rosh Hashanah on, they went through. But then it says, "Vayasu as chag sukkos kakasu." But I don't think that was the set one, because then the next pasuk says, "Vayasu as chag sukkos kakasuv." Then they did sukkos as it's written in the pasuk. So note that it didn't say that they did Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur kakasuv, even though they built it. I mean, it could be that it took a little while to build, that over the days, that it wasn't ready by Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, right? Because they did come in the first month, right? So it seems like Chag HaSukkos is when they had the first thing.
They got
then,
there near Rosh Hashanah time, but they didn't build it until Yom Kippur.
It's possible, but that's why I said that it doesn't seem that yet they brought Olav over there. But here, but Olas Yom B'Yom, then they brought the Olav every single day, the Mispar, according to the proper number of Sukkos, K'mishpat Dvar Yom B'Yomo, according to the Mishpat of every single day and what was supposed to be. This is the idea where all of a sudden, this was something where they started to bring it up. The Acharei Kein Olas Tamid. And afterward, they brought the constant Olas Tamid every morning and every evening of Lachadashim for all the proper Rosh Chodesh, Lachom Moadei Hashem and Mekudashim, and for all the Moadim that are mentioned, those Moadim throughout the entire year. Obviously, the next one would have been Pesach and then Shavuos, etc. Lachom Isnadim Nedavol Hashem, as well as Nedavos, because individuals could also bring it. Abam Gedola, they were allowed to bring it. Yom Echel Lachodesh Hashvi, Heichelu Lavos Holos Hashem. From the first day of Tishrei is when they began to bring up those olos to Hashem, the Heichal Hashem lo yusad, but the Heichal of Hashem was not set up yet. And again, it seems like Ezra is pointing out that they did not bring the korbanos on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, but it was ready enough to bring a korban on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. Just they didn't do kakasov like they did by Sukkos itself. Seems like they didn't bring the korban tamid, although they may have brought a tamid each one. Maybe they didn't have enough sheep around. It doesn't say that they brought sheep with them, the horses, the camels, the mules, and the donkeys they brought. Maybe they didn't have enough to be able to do so. Regardless, vayitnu kesef v'chotzvim, and then they paid money to be able to bring stone cutters in, as well as carpenters, machol misha for food and drink, v'shemen l'tzidonim, as well as oil. They gave over to tzidonim v'latzorim, and to the people of the Tyre, l'aviatia, rosam in Lebanon, to bring in these cedar woods from the Lebanon, which is exactly where they brought the cedar woods from the Lebanon, by Shlomo melech malachim aleph, al yam of Yafo, through this sea to Yafo, because obviously there are no rivers that go down to this area. So in order to bring down the wood, which was extremely heavy, they would have to float it down the sea all the way there. That obviously was a very, very high, I don't even imagine what the trip was like from Tel Aviv to Yerushalayim, how they brought it through, the heavy wood. Kirishon Koresh Melaparas Aleim. It has to be flatbed, yeah, flatbed trucks. Kirishon Koresh Melaparas Aleim, as is authorized for them, like Koresh Melaparas. Again, Koresh was the king at the time and king over all the areas around, which meant that he had to give permission for the different, construction things that you had to go through the Mediterranean Sea. B'shana Shenis Levon Mal Beis Elohim. So by the second year that they came to the Beis HaMikdash Yerushalayim, into Yerushalayim itself, B'chodesh Hasheni, in the second month, this would have been in Ir. All those that came from the captives of Yerushalayim, they stood up Levium from 20 and up, which is interesting. The Levium were supposed to be from 30 to 50. The Kohanim were 30 to 50. Levium were 20 and up. They would be overseers on the Malacha of the Beis HaMikdash itself. Why specifically the Levium? I guess the Levium were being held back, said they would be special to be the gatekeepers, the Kohanim, obviously, and for the singers. Do remember, we did not have very many Levium. We pointed that out before. Very few Levium actually came back. Even by Ezra, very few Levium came back, right? But that was that. And it says over here, So Yeshua ben Yotzadik, as well as his sons and his brothers, they made Kadmiel and his son, they oversaw the workers in Yerushalayim, says Beis Elohim, in this place. So the people of Chaynadav, the sons of Chaynadav as well. So they built it, they founded they made the foundation of the Heichel, of where they wanted to put the Heichel. And the Kohanim that were dressed, again, they were not wearing the big tekuna, because you could not wear the big tekuna if you were not doing the avoda. And this wasn't about an avoda. These were just, they were dressed nicely. They stood there b'chatzotzos with trumpets. And the Levium that were the sons of Asaf, they used cymbals. L'halos Hashem al-yidei David melech Yisrael, to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu according to the praises given to David HaMelech, Melech Yisrael himself, which is interesting, by the way. Remember, in Tehillim, we do see the Bnei Asaf. We do see the actual Bnei Asaf, right, that were part of the creation of Tehillim itself. That means that these Levium would have been around the entire times from the times of David HaMelech. It's over 470 years, 480 years up until this point.
Descendants, not descendants.
No, of course not. But what I'm saying is that that family stayed in the symbol business, which is amazing. Throughout the entire time, they were still symbols. They do say the Mitzel Tayim right over there, which is absolutely amazing, right, that they stayed around the way it was. Linatseach over here is part of the word lamnatseach, as we see. It's normally translated as for the conductor. Maybe you've seen that throughout Tehillim itself. Others say it was a type of instrument that they used over there. Here, you can say it's the same basic idea. Overseers are conductors. Whether they were conductors of music or conductors of how the basin was going to be built, it was the foreman. Basic same idea over there. Yeah, foreman in that way over there. It says that they had to be 20 and up, so he points out over here, to maintain that kavod that the Beis HaMikdash deserves, children are only allowed to come in if the adults were there as well. That's why it says Bnei Chanadav Bnehem. It says Yeshua Banav, right? Kadmiel Ubanav. It mentions it only together with them. So listen to this. In Congregation She'eris Yisrael in Baltimore, Rav Schwab said that this ruling applies to underage Kohanim to do Birchas Kohanim. They cannot do it by themselves, but they can do it with someone else who's older. But they would not be able to do it by themselves if they were the only ones there, which is interesting. He applied it from this pasuk. Because of this pasuk, we saw that the Banav came along with them. Okay, so let's see a couple others over here.
Underage.
It doesn't. It's no proof. He just thought, brought it as a smach. Yud Aleph, Vayanu Behalel Ubahodos Lashem. They praised and they thanked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is obvious. Ki Tov, that he was great. Ki Lo Nchas, his chesed is all forever. All Yisrael, V'chol Am, he reused Sru'a Gedoyla. And all the people they called out a Sru'a Gedoyla Behalel Hashem, Al Husad Beis Hashem, that the Beis HaMikdash was able to be built. V'Rabmei HaKohanim V'Levim V'Roshei Alphaz HaZakenim V'Sharov Zabayis HaRishim V'Yosto Zabayis. Right? Many of the Kohanim and the Levim and the heads of the people and the Zakenim that saw the very first Beis HaMikdash, they were there when the first Beis HaMikdash was around. Right? V'Yosto Zabayis, when this house was formed by Inam Bochim, they started crying, the Kol Gadol, with a great voice, V'rabim, Bisrua B'simcha L'Haran Kol, while the others raised their voice with shouts of happiness. And this makes sense. You can imagine what it was like to see the greatness of the original Beis HaMikdash, and I don't want to say the poorness, but at the time, it still was not anywhere near what's going to be the second time. So they're seeing the foundation and what it was like and what they were trying to build, and they knew it would never be like the first Beis HaMikdash. And they probably were all hoping for the Nevuah that was given by Yechezkel. They all knew the Nevuah of Yechezkel of the third Beis HaMikdash. They knew what it was going to be like. And they realized it's not yet time. Chagai and Zechariah. Chagai and Zechariah came along and they said, we can't do it. Chagai and Zechariah came, we just had a vision, we cannot build the third Beis HaMikdash, we're building a second one. Not here, but that's by Chagai and Zechariah, by the Nevi'im of Chagai and Zechariah. He said, we're no longer building the third Beis HaMikdash, we're building a second one. We're building a different one instead. So they were crying. They expected the next Beis HaMikdash to be bigger. And in fact, the second Beis HaMikdash was not bigger until Herod's, right? It was not bigger than the first one.
How do we know that Herod's wasn't the... how did they know?
Size-wise. It didn't reach the size of Yechezkel's. And we mentioned this before, 3,500 by 3,500 amos would have been the area of the third Beis HaMikdash. This was nowhere near. It would have been 137 by 128.
The area of the Temple Mount isn't that big.
They would have built up, probably would have put up dirt and whatever it is to make it even bigger.
They did to make it bigger, but
still... they probably would have had to do more. That probably would have been there. Unless it happens beneath sea. But if it would have been natural, they would have had to do some type of building. Nowadays, we certainly can do it. If it's up to us, we can do that. But you can hear this, where there's simcha from all the people who had never seen the first Beis HaMikdash, who were involved in this building, right, or the building of the foundation, knowing that the foundation is being set for them to do, and the crying of everybody else. People couldn't recognize the simcha because there were so many people crying. The people were giving forth a great shout, and it was heard from very, very, very far away, right? And that's what's supposed to be over here. It's a little crazy over here. By Yishmu Tzar Yehuda, so this is in Parag Dala Pasagal, Yishmu Tzar Yehuda ben Yamin, ki v'nei ha-gola bonim heichal Hashem alokei Yisrael. Now, the enemies of Yehuda ben Yamin heard that the people of the Gola, the people who were coming from Golos, were building up the heichal of Hashem alokei Yisrael. So this is what they heard over here. Who were these enemies? Without a question, the Kusim were the number one, the Kusites, right? And the Shomronim, the Samarians, the Samaritans, right? Who heard it as well. These were people who obviously believed in some sort of God that was in charge of them, but also believed in Shituf, in some other type of Avodah Zarah that was together with it, whether they had actual idols, or they believed in a multiple of gods, multiplicity of gods, if they believed in the different, the sun, the moon, the stars, whatever it was. I don't know. I don't know what the Kusim believed in at all. There's Akasha altogether, whether the Kusim were Gary MS or Gary Arios, but it doesn't matter anymore, because at this point, when the Kusim did what they did in this thing, we're going to see, they immediately cut off the Kusim completely. They said they are no longer Jews at all. We no longer consider them able to go through. We say they reverted to idolatry.
Why don't we do that to people who go around tattling about Jewish people today?
Because these people were always besuffic, whether or not they were Jewish, the Kusim, always a suffix, and they always lived in their own sects, married their own people, etc. And now, when we see what they are, they reverted back to idolatry and they did their own thing. That's when Klal Yisrael said, no longer. Well, they're not even, even if they were Geri Emes at one point, they're no longer Geri Emes.
Yeah,
they didn't consider it that
at
way.
One point,
yeah.
You can be a Neveri.
Yeah.
Still
the Chachamim just said, I forgot what the actual wording is. It's in, Lo Zazu Mishamat Sha'asom Ovdei Kochavim Gemurim. That's the wording of the Gemara in Chulin. Bava Med Aleph.
A valid conversion.
I don't know if they kept to themselves the whole time. I don't know.
Someone's declared. That's why the Nassim were Jewish. The Givonim stayed Jewish.
Well, yeah, but they couldn't marry Jews.
Right, but they had a DNA. So
probably Kusim had the same process.
No, but it says that he made them Avodah still having the Holdover.
So we'd have to see what that means. In other words, they were Avodah Zarah. I would assume they were Ovdei Avodah Zarah for touching wine, right, whenever that decree was made. The Ovdei Avodah Zarah regarding going into their shoals, right, into their temples, whatever it is. The Ovdei Avodah Zarah for other things. I don't know what the status would be. We'd have to figure out like what the halachic nafkamin would be if they're called Ovdei Kochavim Gemurim. Can you marry into them? You couldn't marry into them anyway. So that wasn't a shiloh in the first place.
Today. So what happens if one of them marries a Jew? Are they Jewish?
I think
they
have
Jewish?
To convert completely.
Right.
Yeah, I'd have to, I don't know. I actually don't know. Yeah, I had a Shomroni that was in the yeshiva program. A guy who was in the yeshiva program brought by Rafi Gassel. I remember that name from back in the day. Rafi Gassel brought a guy who was a Shomroni. I didn't know until like 2 weeks. He said like, oh, by the way, I'm a Shomroni. He was learning Gemara with us. No. No.
So what
He lived somewhere in Chicago. He had a whole family. What? I don't know. He told me. He's Shomroni. I had no idea. I'm like, your family? He's like, yeah. He does all these weird things. Yeah. He was like telling me about Pesach and like, he was telling me about Sukkot specifically, like what they do. They build these little huts and they go out to the fields and they sit there for like 6 days.
That sounds pretty weird. Like,
weird
I think
stuff.
You know.
No, but like not in their house, you know? Yeah, they do out there. But it's good stuff what these guys do.
Now you know what they're managers.
I know what I think about it.
Why do you have little huts in their backyard?
That's funny. At least it's in our backyard. Mm-hmm. All right, but by Yigshuel Zerubbabel, they came to Zerubbabel, they approached Zerubbabel, Rosh Elvis. So the first thing they did is they went to Zerubbabel and to the Rosh Elvis, and they said to them, Nibna Yimachem, hey, can we build with you? Listen, we also want to be involved with your God. And to him we will shecht. Do you see the wording over here?
Yeah.
Because Ezra's putting it in and saying they never really meant that they wanted to shecht to God. So it's really below. They never wanted to do it. But below, they claimed that this will do it to him. From the days of Chadon, the king of Assyria, the Chadon was the son of Sancheriv, one of the sons of Sancheriv that took over the kingdom. He was the son that did not kill Sancheriv. There was, remember, after Sancheriv lost the war, two of his sons, one his sons got up and killed him. Chadon was the one who took over the kingdom. Hamalo, son of Ohu, brought us over here. So that's interesting, by the way. That means that the people that brought in, I always thought, that it says from the Gemara, that Sancheriv was the one who moved out the other people and moved in other people in their place, who moved people around. Apparently, it wasn't by him, it was by his kid. It was after Sancheriv had died.
Started it and
it's possible he brought them out, right. So it's just interesting. I always thought it was just done by Sancheriv like immediately, but I guess, yeah, it took years, I guess. The Yomalem Zerubbabel, Yeshua, Shar Rashi, obviously Yisrael, Zerubbabel, Yoshua, Ben Yotzadik, and all the other heads of Bnei Yisrael, Lolachem, Belon, Leave No Space, Elokeinu. It's not for you and us to build the base of Mikdash. Ke'anachu Yachad, Nivna Lashem, Elokei Yisrael. We will build it together, Kashi Tzivano, Melech Koresh, Melech Pros, like it was commanded to us, the king of Koresh, Melech Pros. Okay, they first of all did not believe that there was convictions from their side to be able to build it. They figured, and they were right, that they were only doing it in order to delay the building. And that's the reason why these people were being involved, and that's why they didn't want to do it. But the line over here, Alo Lachem Belanu, is that this Beis HaMikdash was supposed to be built entirely by Jewish hands. Now, it's not entirely true, because they did hire carpenters and whatever, and the, you know, stone cutters that obviously were not there. I guess they mean that the quarrying might have been done by other people, and the cutting might have been done by other people, but the placement of the stones may have been done only by Jews. Maybe that's what they meant. Or, just simply put, it was just over here. I do remember somebody saying that it was specific that this second Beis HaMikdash was built entirely by Jews. Bayama aretz merapim yidei am Yehuda. The people of the land, therefore, weakened the hands of the people of Yehudah. And they caused them to be frightened to build, right? In other words, there was, you know, harassment they obviously did until eventually there were threats on their safety, etc. And what did they do? They hired people, you know, advisors, to knock down all their aitzes, all their plans. During the days of Koresh, the king of Pras, all the way until the days of Daryavish, the second Daryavish, the king of Pras, over there. So I guess they went around the kingdom itself. I don't think they had a tremendous amount that they were able to do at this time, because remember, remember, if we have everything down correctly, Hasach Daniel was still around the kingdoms, right? He was still maybe part of the Persian kingdom. Mordechai at some point went back and became a higher up in the kingdom itself. I don't know who is in charge and whatever it was. Koresh, as we said up above, was convinced by Daniel to build up this base of Mitzvah. He told him that he was prophesied about by Yeshaya years and years earlier. So Yeshaya even used his name and said, Koresh will build up the base of Mikdash. Koresh was convinced. So maybe they didn't think they'd be able to get it if they went through. But they could bother them, and that's exactly what they did. Now, during this time...
Does it say anywhere in here, though, the name of Daniel or Mordechai?
Mordechai Bilshan, we see. Mordechai Bilshan was one of the people that came in. Daniel, we do not. The wording that we used, what was it? Was from...
That was from the Pasuk Mordechai of Shushan.
Yeah, if it was, right, if it was. Because it is hard to say that he went back and whatever it is. Okay, I'd have to find it. Oh, here we go. Daniel told Koresh where he said... Yeshaya, he quoted him, Yeshaya, right. The Yeshaya, the Pasuk in Yeshaya was right over there. I don't know. He might be quoting a Medrash over here. I don't know. He made his own decision. Number 9. Daniel 6:29, he said, based on that he was around by Koresh. So he would have been there.
Do we know that he came with the...
He didn't come with the people. Not that we see. No, we didn't see his name. We don't see his name over here. Again, he would have been Hasach, if anything. He was there by the Purim story, right? He could have been right over there.
He was Hatach.
Or he died. Right, that could be. There's four different opinions in the Gemara retired. Sanhedrin.
I mean, right, four Gemara... Like, they didn't want him anymore, and like he wasn't an advisor anymore once Belshazzar fell, so...
Yeah. And the Persian kings? No, the Persian kings definitely picked him up, right? Because Darius had him. He talks about Darius, the first Darius, where he had the dream.
Right.
We definitely had him. He was definitely there by the Persian kings.
Oh, right.
And he's treated extremely well then. I don't know how much that lasted, though. Anyway, but this time period was a very interesting one. It's a time that we call Hester Panim. It's funny, right? Because we just had Chag Zechariah Malachi getting up and saying, we got to build a second base of Mikdash. And we're about to get to a time where there's going to be a little bit of Nebuah left, right? A little bit of Nebuah left. But Purim, there was a period of like almost like 18 years where something happened and it was just a little bit different. Purim was the time where there was Hester Panim. However many years it was from the days of Koresh, right over here, until the days of Daryavish II, where they all went back and Ezra was able to bring everybody back at some point. But there was Hester Panim over here. According to this, no Nevi'im had any Nevuah during this time. Even Chag Zechariah Malachi, Hanani, Mishael, Azariah, nobody was able to get anything at this time itself. That's why there's no name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Megillas Esther. They mamish felt that they were lost. After Koresh had, well, not Koresh, but after the decree was rescinded that they could no longer build, as we're about to see from Ahasuerus in the beginning of his reign, after that happened, it felt like nobody was on their side anymore. There was a period of where they didn't know what to do with themselves and the enemies were in charge. Now, V'malchus Achashverosh b'tchilos malchuso. In the kingdom of Achashverosh, in the beginning of his reign, this in Pasuk Vav, kasu sitna al Yosha Yehuda Yerushalayim. There was written an accusation against those who lived in Yehuda in Yerushalayim. So it says the following. We're going to read this, and then I'll go back for a second. V'mei Artachshasta kasav bishlam. Right, in the days of Artachshasta. Right, so we'll call this. There was written in peace. There was a greeting in peace of Misredos Tovel Ushor Knavosov al Atachshasta Melech Paras. So it was written by these people, Misredos Tovel, probably somebody out there, Shar Kinvanosav, and all of his companions, all the people that were with him. Atachshasta was written to Atachshasta, the king of Paras, because of Anishtivon, because of Aramis, and Meturgman Aramis. There was a writing that was written in Arabic in some way and translated in Aramaic as well, so that they could read it together all the way through. Okay. Now, Koresh had built up his kingdom, right? This is Cyrus the First. He had taken over the entire kingdom itself. At that point where he had been given over many, many kingdoms and had defeated many kingdoms, it was a very short amount of time. He was only king for a few years, 4 years altogether, although when Ahasuerus first became king, he may have given him over the reign of the immediate surrounding areas while he ruled the rest. But at the most, he was king for another 6-7 years, because remember, Ahasuerus made his party in the third year of his kingdom. Artachshasta comes up with two different words. It's Persian. Arta in Persia means great. Shasta in Persia means kingdom. He was the great man of the kingdom. The Greeks transliterated this word into Artaxerxes. Artaxerxes is the same as Artachshasta. It's the exact same name itself. Okay, now the Gemara tells us that Artaxerxes is the name of any regent, sort of like Paro and Abimelech and everything like that. Artaxerxes is given over to every single person. And in fact, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says, who Koresh, who Daryavish, who Artaxerxes? Darius II was known as all those, and so was Koresh. The first Koresh was also known as Daryavish and also known as Artaxerxes. These are names that were synonymous with the kingdom in Persia and everything that they did over here. It is interesting that Koresh and Darius are the same gematria of 520. Just interesting to be able to go through. Now, Koresh either had a son or an adopted son that was known as Ahasuerus. As Koresh remained the supreme ruler, Ahasuerus had become the small little king. He had assumed control of the empire, right, which consisted of the 127 kingdoms, and he made his kingdom in Shushan itself. Now, Koresh, up until that point, was still in charge, officially, running everything from Babel, and he still made all the big decisions. But Ahasuerus slowly but surely started to take over what was there, and that's this. Now, there is a letter that was written to King Ahasuerus, and it's written to Artaxerxes, because Artaxerxes is really to Koresh, the leader of it all, but written to Ahasuerus, speaking about what had happened over here. The people that are written up together were for sure the Shomronim, as well as the Kusim themselves, as well as, and interesting, because we're forgetting these people exist, the 10 sons of Haman. As we're going to see, Shimshai the scribe is very heavily involved in this. Shimshai the scribe is one of the sons of Haman who's killed at the end of the Purim story. So he's around as well.
He's on the list, Shimshai?
Shimshai. It's funny. It's brought down by the Midrashim, but I don't know if he is on the list of the 10 sons that were hung by Haman. That I don't know. But Shimshai the scribe is known as that. So either way, Ezra Sofer may have turned this into Aramaic at this point to be able to say all these different things that went down over here. Thank you. That's good. Okay, so now Pasachas. Rechum Baal Te'em. Okay, so Baal Te'em. Rechum was the counselor. Vishimshai Safra, Shimshai the scribe. Kasavu Igra Chad al Yerushalayim. They put together this writing on Yerushalayim, the Artaxerxes Malka Kenema, right to Artaxerxes, right, the king saying as follows. Adayin Rechum Baal Te'em. Then Rechum, the counselor, Vishimshai Safra, Sharkiva Nason, and all the other people around the
Dinayim. Close to Shimshai.
Yeah, so that he might not have been part of the people that were killed. It is Rashi here. Oh, look at Rashi right over here. What is Shimshai? Pasuk Ches. What did you say over there? Megillah Tezayim and Aleph and Rashi there. Yeah. So it's also Megillah Tezayim and Aleph and Rashi right over there. Okay, so it says Dinayav Arfachaya. Tarpalaya Afarsaya, whoever these people are, these are a bunch of nations, right? Arkivaya, Bavalaya, Shushan Chaya, that's obviously the people living in Shushan, Tahaya Al Emaya, that are the people of Elam, Usharu Maya, and all the other nations, Jihagli Asnapar, Rab of Yakira, that was exiled, but Asnapar, Asnapar could either be the guy known as Asur Bani Pal, or referring to Sancheriv, the person who had exiled all these people, the honorable king. But Hosev Himo Bekiria, he sat them down in the cities, these Shomrin, that are now known as the Shomron, Ushar Aver Naharo Ka'enis, and all over the Trans River area, as well as the area of Canaan, which would have been up north as well. Dina Parshegan, again, because even though Eretz Yisrael was obviously known that way for many, many years, the area above Eretz Yisrael was known as Eretz Canaan. There were still parts of it, what we now know as Lebanon. Still, there were some Canaanim that may have lived there.
Yeah, but this is Ka'enet with an I, not an
I. Yeah, he says that this refers to the people that were of the Phoenician part of Aver Nahara that was called Canaan. That's how he puts it over here. Dinah Parshegan, he has Rav Schwab has a tremendous piece on the people of Canaan, that there were two Canaanim, the people that lived in Canaan, and there were merchants that lived outside of Eretz Yisrael who were originally Canaanim and had trade together with the old Canaanim people, but they were no longer Canaanim, although they went by that name. And that's why you'll see Canaan as a nation and Canaan as merchants, because we're both part of that. Anyway, Dinah Parshegan Igarta, this is the text of the letter, the Shalachu Aloi Alatakshasta Malka that was sent over to the king. Avdoch, your servants, Enosh Avernaharok Enes, the people of the Trans River and around that area of Canaan. Yedila Havamalka Diudoi. You should let it be known to the king that these Jews, these Salikumilavasoch, that have come up from before you, Aleni Yasol Yerushalayim, they came up to Yerushalayim, Kiryasal Maradita, they have decided to rebel with the city Ubeishta, with the city that is Kiryasal Maradita Ubeishta, the rebelling and bad city, Banayan, they're building it. Bishuraya Shachlilu, they have already erected walls. Bishuraya Yachitu, and they already have put down foundations. They are planning on making this be there. Now, it is kind of interesting over here. infamously rebellious as the city it was, right? Sennacherib tried to, you know, take it over. They must remember that at some point. Sennacherib tried to take over, and obviously Yerushalayim was not able to go through. Right in the days of Ahab, the Syrians tried to take over. It didn't end up happening over there. We know that what happened with Nebuchadnezzar when he went up against Sidkio, and it was this, you know, it was obviously this huge, huge wall, and everything was over there. So this bad city of Yerushalayim is trying to be rebuilt. Ka'an, now let it be known, Yediel Ahavil Amalkel, let it be known to the king, Tihen Kir Yasa Doch Tis Benei, right, that if this city ends up getting built, right, Vishurai Yishtachlun, and they end up making all these walls, Minda Beloi, right, they will not pay the taxes, Minda Beloi the Halach, all these different types of taxes, Loyin Tanun, they will not give anymore, Va'amptom, Apsom, Malchim, Taznik, and it's going to chert the treasury of the kings. Now that's a little bit weird. This guy's in charge of the entire Persian kingdom. He's worried about 30,000 people in Eretz Canaan. In Eretz Yisrael, I'm sorry.
They're just sitting there.
The answer is, if these people don't pay, then maybe the other people won't pay, and whatever it is.
Power.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
I mean, we gave you a favor and said you can go build your temple. And
right, now all of a sudden you're not going to do it, right? You're not going to pay us for it. Therefore, since we wish to salt the palace, Malachna, filled with salt, since we wish, so to speak, it's like sort of say we want to preserve the kingdom and everything you have, the arvas malka, right? The shame of the king, lo araklana. We don't want to see. We don't really want to see. That's why we told over the king. Diavakar bisfar dochranaya. I want you to check all the books in the history. Diavasach of all of your fathers. Usashkach bisfar dochranaya. You should check through all the books of the memoirs itself. Visinda di kiryasa do kiryamaradu mahanzakas lamalchin umedinin. You'll know that this city that they're planning on building is a city filled with rebelliousness and has hurt many kings and many countries. Ishtadur avdin begavo. This sedition was done all the way down, min Yomas Alma, from all the way back. Al dinakir yasa dachar chorava. And for that reason, this city should be destroyed. So go check out the what's called the books of what happened in the past. Modina and Achna Lamaka, we are trying to tell the king to inkir yasa dach tisbinei, that when this city gets rebuilt, vishurai yishtachlun, and when the walls are put up together, l'kavul dina, chalap avar nahara loisi loch, that once that happens, you will never repossess that area on the west side of the Nile, of the Jordan River. Piskamash lach malka al rechum baal te'em v'shim shesafra. So the king then sent an order to Rehum and Shimsha Safar, Visharkam and Asun, and all the other people, the Yasun Bishamarin, that are living in these areas of the Shomron, Ush Arav the Nahara Shlomuk S, right, including all the complete list and everybody that was around there, etc. Nishavanati Shlachton Alana Mafarash Kare Kamir. The document he sent to us was read before me very explicitly. I mean, he seemed to aim, and from me, I want to give an order. Uvakaru Vashkahu, I want you, when we investigated and we found, Dikir Yasa Doch Min Yoma Salma, that this city, from the olden days, Al Malkin Misna. Say it always tried to rise up against their kings. There's rebellion and all these types of things that happen in Yerushalayim. There were mighty kings that ruled over Yerushalayim. They ruled over the entire area over there, right? And they gave taxes over to those kings. I assume they're referring to Malchus Beis David, right? The entire time. And therefore, we are issuing orders to stop these people. They can no longer build up the city. Some until another order is given by me. Now listen, we already know from the times of Achashverosh, there is no such thing as a gzera that can be made that you take back. Right? Because he says, what can I do? I already gave the order to destroy the Jews. What can I do? And Mordechai and Esther couldn't take back that order. Instead, they said, let the Jews fight back. Right? So there are orders that are given from the Persian kingdom that can't be taken back. I'm sorry?
They made a new one.
You can make new ones. So what he's saying over here is, my new order is, they cannot build until I tell them to again. Meaning they didn't take back the order of building the basement. It wasn't taken back completely. They didn't completely abolish the order. They said they cannot do it until I get back to them over here. Right? Uzahir and Havu Shalu Lama Abed al Dinah, and they should be careful not to make any mistake about this. Lama Yishke Chavolah, right? Why should there be harm at Lanzakas Malkin to all the damage that has already been done to the king? And Daimin Di Parshagin Ishtavana Di Artakshasta Malka Kari Kadam Rechum Mishim Shai. After this document, the moment that was read over to Rechum and Shimshai Sifra, Kavan Asun and all their people, they went quickly to Yerushalayim HaYudaya to go tell the Jews, and they stopped them with force and with arms, telling them that there's no way to be able to do it over here. Now, again, I don't know which Artakshasta we're talking about over here. If this Artakshasta is referring to Koresh, that he's the one that made this rule right before he died, and maybe that's the reason why he died, because he had the rule that he was going to do, as the Nevuah of Yeshaya said, and then he stopped it. That could be the reason why he died right afterward. Or if it was Achashverosh and he was already in charge, and he's being called Artakshasta because he was that guy in charge of the kingdom at the time. I don't know who ended up making it over here. Regardless, one of the two is making this idea of what's going to be over here, right? Somehow he turned sour, right? And that's the idea behind it. If you remember the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, it says that Koresh was a melech kosher ad dehechmitz until he went bad. this could be the reference to the king Koresh.
So Rashi says Ahasuerus, Ibn Ezra says, no, Rashi says it's, oh no, sorry. Koresh, and Ibn Ezra says it's Ahasuerus.
I mean, that's interesting over here. Either way, that was that. So that's what he did. So therefore, they stopped building up the house of God that was in Yerushalayim. And it stopped until the second year of Darius II, Daryavish, the king of Pras itself, the king of Persia itself. This was the time when they decided that Ha'ocho Paskusim Ka'ocho Basar Chazir, right? That's what it said in Shavias Perek Ches Mishnah Yud. This is the time when they took it all down over here as well. They were the ones who ended up stopping, and they decided the Kusim are no longer going to be part of it whatsoever. Now, I do want to quote a couple things about Daryavish over here. There was the earlier king Daryavish Amadi, right? This is Daryavish, the son of Esther. Now, it's very difficult to say that this Daryavish is literally the son of Esther. There is a Tosfos that mentions this in Rosh Hashanah, that the Daryavish that we're talking about is the Daryavish, the son of Esther. If Daryavish, this Daryavish number two, was the son of Esther, he only married Esther when he was 7 years into his kingdom, and he ruled for 14 years. At the most, Daryavish was 7 years old. At the most, he was seven, maybe eight, if like we're a little bit off.
But what if to say it was Esther's son? Maybe again, it was a previous wife.
If we say it's Daryavish ben Esther, because it definitely seems from Tosfos that it's Daryavish ben Esther. But it seems clear that we see throughout Tanakh that this concept of you can be the son of somebody, but not actually the son of. They raised you. They took care of you. They're the ones who put you into the right position to be the person that you are. It seems clear that Esther had a lot of influence, as well as Mordechai, on this young boy who was born to the kingdom. Probably she was Vashti's kid. Vashti's kid, I mean, going through.
He had a different woman every night. He could have had a lot of kids.
Definitely true, but you'd assume that the prince, the one who's taking over the kingdom, would come from the queen, whoever the queen was. Definitely,
unless
there were lots of harems. There were harems.
Son.
It'd be very strange. It's just not the way it happened back then. Pilakshim, there's no way. They were considered like zonas back then. You know what I'm saying? They just, concubines were always considered that way. Like by Gidon, they treated Avimelech different because of Yiftach. Yiftach was treated differently.
How do we know that there wasn't a wife before Vashti?
We don't. You're right. It could be that he's a little bit older. We don't know the age of Ahasuerus. You're 100% right.
He could have fathered a son before he became king, and then once he became king.
Yeah, it's a possibility. It's a possibility. If it's Vashi's kid, which is a possibility, he probably was married to Vashi at some point, whatever it was. But if it was, right, then this person is the person that we consider it like this. There's no question the Chamin call him a Melech Kasher, Darius II. And there's no question that he was together with Mordechai and Esther at the same time. Mordechai and Esther understood what they needed to do and how it had to be over here. So when we say Ben Esther, it's difficult to say. It's not impossible to say he could have been eight. I mean, we have precedents for such a thing, and, you know, King Tutankhamun, and we do have child kings throughout, you know, the nations. But it's just unlikely that it would be referring to this over here. Now, again, there was a period now, period between Koresh in the beginning of Ahasuerus' reign until Daryavish the second and second year, where we go through this Hester Punim, where there's a Hester Punim now, and that's where Esther comes into play and the period of Purim. Like right now, between Perek Dalet and Perek Hay is the story of Esther. That's where it comes into play, where the story of Esther actually happens over here, right? And the actual Gullus doesn't end until 18 years later. It's almost like they thought the 70 years of Bavel were going to be over. They were wrong. It wasn't the 70 years of Bavel yet. The 70 years of Bavel started from the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash and ended in the second year of Daryavish's kingdom. That was the 70 years altogether. At some point during this time, when Mordechai was told that the Beis Hamikdash would no longer be rebuilt in their time, Zerubbabel stayed. Zerubbabel's Nechemiah, he also left. But Mordechai went back to Bavel. Mordechai said, there's nothing here for me. If we're not building the Beis Hamikdash, I might as well go back and lead the Jews. He went to Shushan, and Baruch Hashem, he went to Shushan to be able to save the Jews during the times of Purim. Nehemiah, Zerubbabel, we don't know. If Zerubbabel is Nehemiah, did he go back? Did he not go back? That's a bit of a kasha. That I can't tell you, right? If Zerubbabel is the same person as Nehemiah, certainly he went back, because we'll see that Nehemiah was sitting with the king at some point. If Zerubbabel is a different person, he didn't go back. But both of them would have been around there at that time. We'll stop with that, guys. We are up to Perek Hay. We're up to right now.